So everyone, welcome back to the show. What we just played there was Cécile McLaurin-Salvant. That was I Didn't Know What Time It Was from her 2013 album Woman Child. Before that, we featured some music from David and 90 Miles. That was The Forgotten Ones, and that was with Christian Scott and Stefan Harris. So, Mr. Sanchez, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're on a tight schedule, so we very much appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure. And I have to say, I'm really looking forward to the show at the Regatta. You know, really looking forward to be at Boston again.
Yes, so this is very exciting. He is playing on the 26th, and you'll be playing with wonderful, wonderful musicians, including Ricky Rodriguez and Henry Cole and Luis Perdomo. And, and tickets are $25 and $18.75 with a student discount, so not a bad deal. And that's at 7:30 p.m. at Regatta Bar in Cambridge, Massachusetts. David, why don't we talk about what we heard previously, which was that track from 90 Miles. Can you tell us a little bit about what The Forgotten Ones means to you?
Originally, it was a song that I dedicated to the community of New Orleans after Katrina.
Sure.
The horrible tragedy that, you know, and basically it was a little tribute that I paid to them. But right now it means to, you know, so many people in the world that, are being ignored. And I guess it applies to many, many other different circumstances. So that's what The Forgotten Ones was about when I wrote it. You know, that really pretty much that, you know, literally that.
Right. And then before that, we played one from Cultural Survival, which is your 2008 album. We played the title track. And this particular one that we played featured Danilo Perez, Adam Cruz, Lage Lund, and Ben Street. So would you like to share a little bit of light about that we heard?
Oh, yeah. No, man, it was a great experience. Danilo, of course, and I are there, you know, we know each other for a really long time, and have a, you know, incredible relationship that goes beyond music. Mm-hmm. And I think the very first time we were in touch was in 89,
wow.
I believe, you know. So that was a while back, you know. And you know, we had the chance to play with DC together. He was already in the band. Then later on, I joined the band. And, you know, it was unbelievable, the experience to play with him again. Especially with all the musicians that were cultural, was incredible. But of course, him being the oldest and, you know, and the longest relationship that I have, you know, was really very special.
That's wonderful.
So you know, and it was a very fun session. We're pretty open and I truly enjoyed it.
That's wonderful. Well, it's a great track, and we're going to play another one when we finish speaking from that same album in a little bit. Would you like to talk a little bit about what you have been up to in the last couple months, what projects you've been working on, and what you'll be presenting at the Regatta Bar at your performance this week?
Well, actually, that's a good question, because I'm going to be mixing this stuff. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of material from Cultural Survival, but and some material that I did with 90 Miles, but it really is about... Honestly, I actually took these few gigs because I wanted to try new music. So it's all about new material that has not been recorded before.
So
I'm really looking forward to these guys. You know, you could go many directions with these guys. You know, I mean, they really know where they're coming from and where they want to go, and that's really important. You know, it's rooted in tradition and you know, playing with Luis Perdomo, mm-hmm. is great. I mean, because he's very wide. I mean, he has, you know, his music concept and influences are many, you know, you could go, therefore you could go in different directions with him, and especially this music that is definitely folklorically rooted, some of it, and it's great to play with him. That, you know, he's an incredible anchor. And same thing with Henry Cole on drums and Ricardo Rodriguez and bass. We were actually playing with 90 Miles some performances, and so they really know each other very well. I think that, you know, I'm really excited. You know, I'm very excited to be playing some stuff, and actually some of the material we actually going to be playing literally for the first time in Boston, because I'm, as we speak, I'm writing some music, and I have not finished yet, but by Wednesday, it'll be finished, and, you know, we're going to experiment a little bit and mix it up also with the older material.
That's very exciting. Do you foresee yourself recording with this group in the future, perhaps?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, no doubt about that. At some point this year, you know, hopefully we'll go back to the studio and I'm looking forward to that, of course.
Yeah, well, I know that we're all looking forward to hearing it. I'd like to ask you a question that I've been wanting to ask you for a while, actually. You basically paved the way for a lot of musicians from Puerto Rico to come here to do jazz. You know, there are so many, and you know, me being a student here at Berkeley, have really, really noticed a real upswing in the students that have been coming up from that university in Puerto Rico. What can you say about maybe, you know, your role in that? You know, how do you see yourself in helping other Puerto Rican musicians come here to do this music? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely. You know, I feel, you know, we all have a responsibility, you know, and this goes with everything, not only with music. You know, if we do the best we can, you know, whatever is it that we're doing, and we do it with passion, and it's genuine. It comes from a genuine place. We most likely, you know, that's the best way we can contribute for generations that are after us, you know, to inspire them. Because, you know, at the end of the day, especially music is about inspiring,
right.
You know, and making people feel something. It's really not about anything else. And you know, I feel now that I look back, you know, I'm like, you know what, you know, you put your little grain, a little contribution, and that's all it's all about. Because then all these musicians, you know, especially, man, I'm so happy to see all these guys coming up, and you see way more saxophone players than ever.
It's
you
true.
Know, like, and that's great, because I know I have a little something to do with it, and I put my little contribution. So to see that is really. I feel a lot of pleasure. It gives me a lot of I feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know what? These guys are going to take it somewhere else. You know? And I'm a little part of, you know, somewhere in there. I'm there with them. So that's really great. And that's why I'm actually getting more. These last 5-6 years, mm-hmm. I've been more than ever involved in education, and I go there to the public school especially,
right?
Because I know that, you know, they're struggling. You know, the government, you know, as you probably already read,
right.
Government is bad, you know, it's bankruptcy. You know, and the conservatory there is sponsored by the government,
right.
So I figured, you know what, you know, that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go with the government, you know,
yeah.
No money or whatever. But at least, you know, I'm there and I could help them whatever I can. I maybe inspire a few guys or one or two guys. And you never know. You know, I mean, they don't give up. And something is clear right now that actually there are 2-3 guys, more than 2-3 guys. But I could say like 5-6 guys that actually did everything there.
Yeah,
they didn't even go to anywhere.
Right,
and they are doing beautiful things. I'm like, wow, man, that's the best testament that yes, you could go to Boston, or you could go to Berkeley, you could go to anywhere you want. But at the same time, if we help in there, and we'll go down there, and we are supporters of the education there, you know what? Perhaps the students, they don't have the money, and you know their parents can afford, you know. You know, education outside of the Puerto Rico, they could still have some, you know, decent education and decent experience, and you know, and that's important. I think that's really important.
Sure, and you know, since you you're out there and you're experiencing all this through education, what is it that you're seeing, and how do you see like the future of this music shaping up in your eyes?
How do I see it? I'm sorry, excuse me. I missed the
that's
last
okay.
part you said.
No, that's okay. I'm only asking, you know, through since you're on the ground with this in education and you're around, you know, a lot of young musicians and you're really dealing with it, what do you see the future of this music going toward, in your opinion?
Yeah, I truly see a bright future. You know, I mean, you know, I really do. I mean, people are coming more prepared than ever. Right. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. Actually, what they need is not more preparation. What they need is more experience doing it out there. And unfortunately, we're going through a weird transition right now that, you know, it's just part of life. You know, we just go through little phases and stuff. And it's not as much work as it could be out there and situations for them to develop, not practicing, not in a classroom, not in a cubicle, you know, practice room, but out there really crafting their art. And that's a whole different dimension, because this music is all about the contact. Mm-hmm. It's about the contact, it's the social aspect. If you take the social aspect out of this music, you take the soul. You really take the soul out of the music. And so it's all about connecting. If we don't connect, that's the whole point of music. That's what art is for.
This is
to spread something, to connect. And it's great. I'm a very incredible, you know, I mean, I always have supported the different universities and education. I think it's extremely important, and it shows, because, you know, you see these guys coming younger and younger, very well prepared and everything. But at the same time, I think the other one is extremely necessary, and otherwise it just doesn't make any sense. But but I see a bright future. I think some special things are going to happen.
Well, that's great, and I'm sure I agree with you too, and I'm looking forward to seeing what that future brings.
And, same here.
Yeah. And I don't want to keep you, because I know that you've got a show to put on tonight, but the tune that we're going to play following this interview is Ay Bendito from Cultural Survival. So would you like to give a little bit of background about the tune that we're going to hear next?
Yeah, no, that's a song that tribute to all Puerto Ricans out there.
Ay right.
Bendito, it's a little phrase that we said in Puerto Rico, it's a slang. So it's a little of my mini dedication to
all
the Puerto Ricans.
That's wonderful. I like it. Good choice. So, Mr. Sanchez, do you have anything that you'd like to just add about your performance this week? Your last, you know, one cell line that you can give to the audiences to come out.
No, that I'm really looking forward to again. You know, really, I can't wait until I'm in Boston and you know, always city of Boston has been great. You know, really, every time I go there, that's like a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thank you again very much, and thank you for fitting us into your very busy schedule. And what we're going to play up next is Ay Bendito on Reads and Deeds 2 on WECB.
Thank you so much.